Hey WMB, welcome to this next episode in our WMB Vision series. As always, I'm Pastor Derek, and here I am with Pastor Gareth.
Hi, everybody. It's so good to be a part of this venture.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Pastor Gareth, why don't you, or I'm just going to call you Gareth for this podcast. That's less of a tongue twister and just more natural for me, of course.
And me.
And you. Why don't you introduce yourself, share a little bit about what you do here at WMB, for those who maybe don't know you.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'm a Westerner. I grew up in Manitoba on a farm. Ended up farming for about 8 years of my life with my father-in-law, and then got called us kicking and screaming into ministry. And I have been in some sort of pastoral ministry for almost 40 years now.
Yeah, that's crazy. So Gareth has been in pastoral ministry longer than I've been alive.
Indeed.
So yeah, and he reminds me of that sometimes when I need correction. So that's great, Gareth.
Lovingly
need correction. You know, it's funny, I get you to introduce yourself for those who don't know you, but I feel like you're very well known around this community. And I appreciate that. I just appreciate your presence in our community. So thank you for that. You've been in ministry a long time, but you've also been a human for even longer.
Let's hope.
Yeah, for sure. So what is something that makes you, Gareth, feel alive, both as a pastor, but then also just as a human?
People.
Hmm.
If I could sum it up, there's all sorts of things that I get excited about. I get excited about my grandkids. I was excited about my own kids. I get excited about ice cream, new ice cream shops that I find. But in reality, when it boils down to what is the most thing that gets me excited, it's people. I love engaging with people.
Yeah.
And that happens whether I'm a pastor or whether it's just my next door neighbor.
I love that. So what I'm hearing is being with people while getting ice cream. That's like the ultimate feeling full of life.
Absolutely. Not too many people, because then the lines are too long.
Exactly. That's true. Can't have that happen. Very quickly, Gareth, what is, in your opinion, the best ice cream place in the city?
Oh, I'd probably say it's a toss-up between Sweet Caroline's.
Okay.
I like the Shaw as well as Kawartha ice cream. But if you want like homemade, not sort of factory made ice cream, then it'd have to be For All ice cream.
For All, yeah. No, I've had For All made. It's really good. That's great. So as someone who's been doing ministry, and specifically, you work a lot with our seniors, right?
Yeah.
What are some cool things that God's been doing in our seniors' lives recently and seniors' ministry recently?
There are tons of things that I see happening among our seniors that makes me excited. When our seniors are sharing their hospitality with their neighbors, when they're we have a couple of our seniors who they make meals or bread and stuff like that, and they drop them off at people in their building as a way of expressing care for them physically, but also just as a way to engage with them on a social. And that almost always leads into a sort of a spiritual conversation somewhere down the line. That gets me incredibly excited. Other things that get me excited is seeing seniors actively participating in cross-generational activities. We have one of our seniors who is now a sponsor, or one of the youth leaders, one of the leaders in the youth group.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a bit younger than me. I think he's 68.
Yeah.
So, but that excites me. And what excites me even more is seeing young people just gravitating to him, because there's something about that grandpa type feel. That's that place, secure place, that you know you're safe in this person's presence.
Mm-hmm.
That hugely gets me excited. Other things that get me excited, when I hear seniors coming to me and saying they've read through the Bible for the very first time in their life,
mm-hmm.
as a, you know, a 78-year-old or whatever, that I'm just going like, wow, that is awesome. And the things
you're,
that we're
you're
doing.
You're never too old to start your that journey, right?
Yeah. And the things that we're doing now with these little cards that we hand out every month that have scripture readings, I see when some of our seniors open up their purses, well, not so much the male seniors, but female seniors, they open up their purse, and in there you see the card, and you've got them X'd off, the ones they're tracking with where we're going. And that those sort of things just, they make it all worthwhile.
No, that's absolutely so good. Yeah, so much good stuff there. Just a comment on, because I think it's important to some of the other discussions we've had and some of the other interviews we've already had. Just recognizing you're never too old to be an apprentice of Jesus, walk in the ways of Jesus, and also to apprentice others in the ways of Jesus, right? Like, this is not something with an age limit. This is not something with limitations like that, right? We're all called into this invitation. So I think that's pretty profound. We're now in a time of visioning, a time of vision. My guess is this isn't your first time of being in a period of vision in the church world.
It's not my first time around the rodeo ring, no,
Yeah,
not at all.
exactly. So tell me at a time when you've already been in a different experience, in a different context, in a period of visioning. Maybe that is even your WB, but tell me a time when you were in that period and you saw some fruit happen from that.
I thought of three or four different scenarios. One being the very first church I was pastoring in Williams Lake, BC. One of the things that happened is there was a transition made in helping people better understand the reality of God's power for prayer. And we started this thing called as elders came together and things like that, we realized that we need to give people the opportunity to understand that people can bring whatever their care is to the Lord, and where two or three are gathered, there the Lord is in our midst, and whatever we ask in His name, and that He will do. And so we made a transition from what we were doing to opening up space. And back then we had evening services, and once a month we had this thing called an elders ministry. So after the message and the singing, etc., then anybody who wanted prayer could stay behind, and they would come forward, and the elders would gather around, anoint with oil, and pray over them. And what we saw happening is we saw the faith of the church growing because they saw people who were sick or ailing in some way coming forward, being prayed for. And in a very short amount of time, sometimes immediately, oftentimes over, the next few days or a week or whatever, their conditions completely reversed. And there was a lady that kept score, sort of, and would always interview people as to what happened. And at the end of 3 years, she found that of all the people that we prayed for, 60% of them received either immediate or very quick healing for what they had been prayed for. 30% received no improvement or they got worse, and 10% died. So, so anyway, not all prayers were answered, but it built so
Not
much
answered in the ways we thought.
in the
Yeah.
way that we were praying,
Yeah.
exactly. But so many people. I saw their faith increase,
Yeah.
and that also then resulted in more people believing that God can do something, and it li they lived that out in their lives. So that was one. Secondly, when I came to Kitchener, we had a traditional service, and there was a transition made that we wanted to go into more of a contemporary service, and so we had two services, a traditional and a contemporary. And the fruit that we saw there, we saw younger people engaging in worship in a way that perhaps they didn't find an easy way to engage with the hymns that were being presented at the time. And that's not to say anything about it. I still love hymns immensely, and
As do
to me
I, yeah.
any song that's given in praise to God, doesn't matter what classification is, for me is just an opportunity to say, God, you're awesome,
Yeah.
and I'm fully in. But saying that, we saw young people coming closer to God and developing in their discipleship, and so there was that as well. And we saw the church growing as a result of that. Lastly, in my early years here in the 2013, 14, 15, we had this thing called a tenure disciple, and I saw seniors beginning to read their Bible because they went like, okay, of this list, what haven't I done? Oh shoot, I've never read through the Bible. And they started reading through the Bible. I saw seniors seeing it as a challenge to say, can I share my faith with my good friend that I've been journeying with for years, but I've never really talked about God, and seeing them take those steps. Now, if I look back at all those things, there were hiccups along the way for each one of those things, and none of them were
Nothing
perfect.
ran perfectly, eh?
Nothing ran
It's
perfectly,
funny how that
but
goes.
each revisioning of how we can do ministry ended up resulting in God doing some pretty significant things for a good number of people that took them from where they were to a little farther down the journey of being a follower of Christ. And to me, I think that's what revisioning is all about. As far as, okay, God, where do you want us to go in the church in this moment? I think all those things have to always be held with an open hand, saying, for this next period of time, we're going to focus in here. But we're going to keep, the important thing is to keep our ears open and hearts open to say, but God, let us not get so consumed with doing it right that we forget to make the adjustments that you say along the way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's so much good nuggets in there. I think like one thing too that you said is vision is not forever, right? Like in 10 years, maybe a WB will have some of these, a new revisioning, and that's good.
Absolutely.
Right? Like the church has changed throughout the years. The church of 500 AD is different than the church of today.
Yes.
Because it would be strange if it was the exact same, right? Cultures change, societies change, technology has changed, humans have changed.
Yeah.
And for us, we're always going to be adapting. But I think what it is too is what is in this moment God calling us to. And also, even in your first example there too, just a reliance on the Holy Spirit, right? Being like, okay, you for that was a specific call to prayer. And I think for us, hopefully that's a specific calling for us too. But and maybe we might just take a different form. But it's also saying, no, we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we're going to let the Holy Spirit go to work, right? And if we do that, it's amazing what God can do.
Yeah. One of the things that, and this goes back a few years back, the church used to have blonde oak wood doors.
Yeah.
And there was a decision that was made that we're going to go with more of a darker theme. Blonde was sort of, you know, more the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Not so much the 2020s.
Oh, it will probably make a comeback at some point.
And we had two seniors who spent for their over about 3 years. I think there's around 83 doors.
Yeah.
That needed to be stripped, sanded, stained, varnished, and then replaced.
Yeah.
The man who did the staining and the revarnishing and sort of the finishing, he would often, when he had his coffee break, would come drop by my office. And one of the things that stuck out to me, he says, I see these doorways as spiritual portals. And especially when there's a door on one of the pastor's offices, I pray that for whoever comes through these doors, that God's presence will be known and that God's intention for them will be received.
Mm.
And I found when he told me that, I started weeping. I'm a bit of a weeper.
Yeah.
I started weeping.
I remember that early on. Yeah.
Because there's something about doing, for lack of a term, you know, a basic task of, you know, stripping and revarnishing and staining. Like what's spiritual about that act? He used it as a way to say, this is my opportunity to use my skills as a carpenter, finisher, etc., as well as my faith in who Jesus Christ is, to pour more than just varnish on these doors, but to actually pour a blessing of the Lord so that the Holy Spirit might use these portals to invade other people's lives, or, you know, get into other people's lives as they come through. And to me, that was just has and continues to be an amazing example of someone allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them as they do what you might call a menial task.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. And that's, I think, actually really profound in the sense too, recognizing we don't know where this is going.
Yeah.
Right. Right now, in a sense, we're creating just like doorways and portals. So when we revision, we're like, okay, we're going to create doorways and portals to kind of funnel things through here. But like, in a sense, we don't know where this will all lead and what God's going to do with it.
Right.
Right. But we're called to do just that work of preparing the way and preparing the harvest ground. Right. But then at the same time with that example, I love to just the calling within our gifts, within our skills, and recognizing that just at the surface, something appears to be one way, doesn't mean God can't use it for other ways.
Exactly.
Right? Absolutely. And I think there's so much goodness in that, because I think that's the life of the disciple.
Yeah.
Right? For sure. All right. One other aspect, too, is this call to discipleship. As we vision and as we think through, what does discipleship mean for this church? And what are some of the important roles that seniors are going to specifically be able to play in that?
Going off the example that I just shared, I think there's seeing their serving gifts. And a lot of our seniors do a lot of serving.
Yeah.
They've got the time during the day. So, well, sometimes seniors are more busy in their retirement than not.
But that's true. But also some of my best volunteers have been seniors because of that very reason.
Yeah. And so using their service gifts, but seeing them as more than just I'm serving in the background, seeing it as a spiritual outlet, an outlet of their spiritual gifts. And I think, I hope that in this process, our seniors will, especially those with the serving gifts, or the sort of the behind the scenes gifts, will see those things as integral to the development of disciples, both their own discipleship, but also pouring into those who are coming. Secondly, for those that are a bit more open to engaging with others on a conversational level, not so much in the background, I really, my dream would be to see our seniors connecting up, like the one senior that's connecting up with the youth, finding connections across generations to begin to pour love, acceptance, but also a perspective on the journey of faith over the long haul, what that looks like, so that those people who are young, whether they're teenagers, whether they're young adults in university, whether they're young marrieds or young families, seeing them come alongside with people to encourage them in their discipleship and to help them through the rough spots, to say, we can only really learn from living life for a long time. You look back and you say, yeah, that year sucked royally. My ninth year in ministry, my ninth year in marriage.
Yeah.
That was my first year in ministry. It was horrible. I committed adultery with the church. I have to say that. Don't cut that part out.
Yeah, Leah has all the editing powers here.
But I say it that way because I felt insecure in my role as pastor because I was a farmer, and now I'm thinking, like, who am I to be a pastor? Because I'm really just a farmer.
Yeah.
That was my, you know, insecurity. And so I just did whatever I was asked to do. And so I was working on my days off. I was working on Saturdays where I was supposed to have a day off. All these things, I was working full time. I almost was never home. I didn't know what the kids were doing, let alone when I came home, wouldn't I'd fall into bed exhausted, not even have a conversation with my wife. Hmm. And it took an incident that happened that sort of brought us to loggerheads, where we had a little bit of a fight. And I began to understand that what I was doing was completely wrong, and I had to learn how to say no. Now, for people in, like yourself, young and in ministry, you're just newly married. I hope that you have people in your life who have been in ministry a longer time who can help to give those sort of perspectives and help protect you from those things you might not see that are going wrong until it becomes to that point where you're going like, oh, shoot, everything is falling apart.
Yeah.
But having a confidant, a mentor, I like the wordage that we've been using as the apprentice, you know, having a master apprentice who is still following Christ,
mm-hmm.
but has been in the journey for a long enough time that he can say, you know what, if you shift and adjust this way, you'll actually find something's going a little easier. And so having said that, when I look broadly over our seniors, I know there's a number of people that come to mind already who I would love to see our young women, our young men coming alongside with these seniors, because there's a wealth of perspectives that they can glean about what it means to follow Christ in the same direction over a long period of time. I don't know of anybody who has been a Christ follower who has had an easy go of it the whole time. If you live long enough and you're honest enough, you can always go back and you say, those are hard times. And not too many people in the midst of the journey get the opportunity to have someone reflect back for them that, yeah, it's a tough road now, but keep on hanging on because God has a perspective that you won't understand until you've walked through this journey. And being able to encourage people to keep on going is a good thing that I think that's one of the things that seniors can do.
Yeah, I think one of my dreams, and I've even just seen this in my life too, is I use the language even of adoptive grandparents, right? And that can take a variety of forms. But I think there is such an opportunity there. And it's going to have to be a two-sided deal, right? Like the young people have to be receptive and seniors have to give. That's a two-sided coin. But when it comes together, it is honestly just beautiful. And some of the most profound, even relationships in my life, have been seniors pouring into me.
And the I guess the corollary to what I said was also, I would love to see some of our young people who are passionate for Jesus coming alongside our seniors and encouraging them, because the whole expression is, you know, well, in my day it was much better, you know, or the golden years and all that sort of stuff. And we have this perspective that the world is going to hell in the handbasket,
Yeah, it's
and
been doing that for a couple thousand years.
it has. That is the truth of the matter. And what we need to have is helping our seniors get a better perspective. And I think the only way that can happen is by them connecting up, or young people connecting up with seniors and saying, can I tell you about what I've been learning, about what God's been teaching me?
Amen. Yeah.
Because I see
Yeah,
young
amen.
people saying that, and then seniors kind of going like, wow, I came away so encouraged. And that builds their faith.
Yeah.
It builds their willingness to say, instead of complaining to God, why, God, well,
Yeah.
take me now. But rather say, thank you, Jesus, that another generation is praising the Lord.
Amen.
He is raising up another generation to give him praise.
Amen.
And that's one of the things I think that is, for me, I always find exciting. I never want to lose touch with those who are younger, because that encourages me in my faith to know that there's another generation growing up. That's my hope, my prayer for our seniors as well, is that they would be looking for what Jesus is doing in a younger generation.
So Gareth, in seasons of visioning in the life of the church, changes happen. But for many people who've been around a long time, and some people who've been around a long, just a short while too, changes can be hard. And in this life of the church, and as we revision certain things, things might change. We might not do certain programs. We might not run certain ministries. We might not do something the exact same way we've been doing it on a Sunday, right? Like things might change. We don't know exactly what that looks like, but things might change. What would be your encouragement to someone who's nervous, to someone who's maybe struggling, who struggles with change, who's someone who's a little unsure of what's to come?
A body that ceases to change dies. The definition of a body that ceases to change is death. And so, unless we choose to change, we're not choosing to stay the same, we're choosing to die. And as a church, that's one thing that I don't think that we should ever feel good about. If we keep on doing the same things in the same way and not getting the result that we really want to see happen, and not ask stop to ask the question, then we're deluded more than anything else. I think most of our seniors who have lived many, many, many years longer than I have, they're very, very aware of the necessity of change. They have seen themselves had to they've had to change through job transitions. They've had to change through moving from locations. They've had to change from being parents to grandparents. That's a different animal. They have to change to having something to go to every day to now all of a sudden having to figure out who you are in retirement. There's been all sorts of changes. Even those people who don't like changes have had to adapt to change all the way along. And we do that successfully when we do it proactively. if we just sort of let happenstance happen, then nothing will change and we will die a very quick death. One of the things that I came to realize in this whole COVID period is there were things that we were very successful at doing program-wise, but we weren't developing followers of Christ. How do I know that? It's because we've had, since COVID, we've had about half of our congregation that no longer comes to WMB. And of that half, somewhere in the neighborhood of half to two-thirds aren't going to any church.
Yeah.
How can we see ourselves as having successfully made disciples of Christ when that huge percentage of people have vacated and have no problem vacating any church? And to me, that says something, that unless we begin to change or are open to changing, we are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So God didn't create us as, he calls us a body for all sorts of good reasons. And I think one of the major reasons he calls us a body is because a body needs to continue to change. Yes, there are times when you get really old that you have to prepare for death. But as a church, I hope that we as a church never prepare for the death of the church as much as we prepare for the ongoing life of the church.
Amen.
And how we do that is we do that by constantly having open hands and saying, Lord, this is your church. And my encouragement to those who are hard to change or who are having a challenge with change is saying, should we keep doing what we've been doing in the past, knowing that the result that we've seen hasn't produced followers of Christ?
Even if it has for a time.
Even if it did for a time.
Yeah.
Do we not want to open up our hands and say, God, we obviously missed you somewhere along the line. What is it that you need us to do? Who is it that you need us to become so that we can better prepare the next generation? And for me, it's always about the next generation, because God doesn't have any grandchildren, you know, he has children. And if we're not building up and pouring into and discipling and apprenticing followers of Christ who are going to then be able to apprentice other followers of Christ, then we're missing an opportunity to be the people of God who help to extend the kingdom of God in this place at this time, and we make it more about us. Now, that's all sorts of statements wrapped into a long run-on Pauline sentence. My apologies for that. But my encouragement to those seniors that I've already talked to is going, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Because we're stopping, we're willing to say, we're going to stop that which isn't working. And we're willing to say, God, what is there that you need us to do so that we can do that which is most effective for your kingdom's sake and for your honor and for your glory?
We're here to build up the kingdom.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God, not the kingdom of W.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Garrett, just as we close, the year's 2030. Use your imagination with me for a moment. The year's 2030. What are some of your dreams for WMB?
In my mind's eye, I see people milling around the foyer as people are coming. I see people connecting with people who look like they might be new and saying, hey, we've got this great soup happening. Why don't you join us for just a simple soup lunch? We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. I'd like to see that kind of hospitality being built into how we welcome people at the church, because there's something that happens around a table, conversations that happen around a table, where you actually get into the essence of who people are. And it provides a profound sense of welcome for those who are newcomers. So that's one thing. Secondly, I long for time when we see some of our seniors sitting along the cafe there, and I love it when I see some of the young people coming up and chatting with them. In 2030, I hope that we have more tables set out and more opportunities for more people to engage over, whether they have coffee or they just need to sit down because they're older. But having conversations with people who are younger or middle-aged. In 2030, I would love to see our services being places where people hear about what God is doing in their lives. Testimonies that are being shared, not just at baptism, but periodically. If someone has something significant happen in their life, that room and space is made to say to the congregation, this is what God has done. To build up the faith in the congregation so that it's not just about baptism, but it's also about the ongoing beauty of what apprenticeship looks like and the joys of what that can accomplish in your life as you share those stories with each other. Because the more that we share stories, I think the more we understand how God is working in our midst, and the more we anticipate what He can do in our life. So those are some of the things I'd love to see. I'd also like, frankly, I would love to see the portable torn down and a beautiful kids ministry building put up there that is great for kids that have lots of light and stuff like that. And during the daytime, it can be a during the week, it can be a childcare center that we engage with the people in the neighborhood. Those
But where will the fox live if the portable's turned down? The fox underneath the portable, where will it live?
What does the fox say?
Yeah.
Who? Anyway, those are some of the things that I can get really excited about seeing. And I hope, shoot, 2030, that's only 6 years. I hope I'm still able to work and do the stuff that I love to do, encouraging our seniors and myself in becoming more and more like the one we love.
Amen. Amen. So many good things there.
Thanks.
Thank you, Garrett. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. Thank you for sharing even some of those dreams. I think when you were describing those dreams, I kept feeling this sense of family, right? Like the idea of coming around the table, the idea of like you were describing the young people going to the seniors and talking to them, and the idea of even just like, yeah, caring for one another. I got this sense of family, right? And with a family, one of the most profound things that family gives us is a sense of belonging, right? And that's another thing I really, really felt as you were saying that was, yeah, a sense of belonging, right? And I think that would be really a beautiful picture if that was painted. So thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you for
you're
sharing
very
that.
welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks
So
for this opportunity.
absolutely. So if you see Garrett in the hallway midweek, his office is right by the door here. I don't want to lose sight. He loves when people come and say hi to him, especially when they bring him ice cream. So that's even better.
I'm always open to ice cream.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone. We will see you next week on our Vision series.